Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com with Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp. They're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is July 27th, 2022. This is a list and your boy. This will be one of the biggest editions of list and your boy that we have ever had. There's so much news there. It's the biggest news story of at least the last 20 years. And it's so funny, Jimmy, because last Friday on Fightful Select at 1 p.m., I was trying to add content to push it up to 7,000 subscribers for the month. And I did a special one-year look back with Joel Pearl and Kate on the CM Punk story. And we said, well, that's probably the biggest news in 10 years. And Vince McMahon said, nope, I'm retiring. Jimmy Van is here. This will be a big one, Jimmy.
Yeah, I would say I would even put this bigger than WCW going out of business.
Yeah, you could argue that.
This is big, and it's interesting. And I'll tell you how much this means to Sean Ross Sapp. This, you know, doing this podcast, talking about this. So I had COVID 2 weeks ago, and I was like symptom free pretty much. And now, when you know, 2 weeks later, I've had like a nagging cough for the last couple of days. So I said to Sean, if we're going to do the podcast, tell me where the mute button is, because I'm probably going to have to mute while we do this. But yeah, it is a massive topic and we have a lot to talk about. And before we jump in, though, I want to thank everybody for getting us to a new milestone with Fightful Select, 8,000 subscribers. Sean and I were shooting the shit before we came on, and I said to Sean, I still think about what you said when we hit 2,500. And Sean goes, what nonsense did I say then? and I used to have these targets, and you used to laugh and say it's not gonna happen, and we're doing it, man. And it's kudos to you. Like you are the man that's getting it done.
I legitimately said last week, I was like, I think I'm too grating on social media to get to 8,000. And we got to 8,000, and they're still not corners, huge parts of the internet that have no idea what Fightful is. Yes. Or why they should pay for wrestling news. I do still slap the block button on anybody that says, why would I pay for that shit? Well, good. Now you don't have to see my tweets either. But all of you who do support, I want to thank you so much, because it's changed my life. I've spoken about this several times. I was living in a house that was crumbling around me until a few months ago, and Fightful Select is a big reason why I'm not. It's a big reason why Jimmy is going to let me have the house that he's in right now when he moves. And Chris Reigns sent a $25 Humper Chat and says, just here to give thanks to the paywall, Jesus, Jimmy, and the rest of the crew for giving us a great service and community in Fightful. Well, that's been a big part of this. I have said this to Jimmy numerous times. I don't care to let a piece of shit know that I don't want their $5. And that's been the case since Trina and Anna were on the air and we had a lot of sexist people in the chat. And I said, cool, goodbye. And they say, oh, well, I'm the customer. And I'm like, cool, we have one less customer now. And I don't care, because to me, it's not worth it to poison the well to have bad people supporting what we do. So all of you that recognize that type of community that we have developed, it has been very important to me to have a nicer audience base. And Joey Bats is a part of that, Jimmy. He sent a Humper Chat at humperchat.com and says, Jimmy, let Sean stay at your house so he can do the Fightful Fantasy Factory. I'm on my knees at Walmart, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah? Oh. So I'm sure Sean would love nothing more than to go hang out in my playset in the backyard. I'm sure.
Listen, I would field some fly balls from Josh Alexander. Like, we would do all kinds of content. Anytime Greek Town came in, I would bring people in. We would do interviews there, Jimmy. See, you don't have to sell your house for an incredible profit, which I know would probably be the case in this economy. You could just invest it in Fightful, because I have been one of the greatest returns on investment that you have ever known, Jimmy. Well, not technically yet, but soon.
I was going to say, I haven't made any money yet.
Soon.
How is that possible? Still in the red.
Soon. Guys, send in super chats here on youtube.com/Fightful. Send in humper chats. How about this? We got an interview with Titus O'Neil that is up right now. We got one with Drew McIntyre that drops Thursday. And I got a really big one dropping on Friday with Rocky Romero. I mean, he talks about a lot of stuff. There's some pretty surprising stuff that emerges, and you're going to get early notes from all of those on FightfulSelect.com. I'm not going to run through every plug for what we've done on FightfulSelect.com. I'm just telling you guys, try it for 1 month. Try it for 1 month. If you don't like it, tell me to piss off, whatever. But almost, very rarely do I have people say, not worth it. Usually our exit surveys are a little low on money, et cetera. And for that, we definitely understand, but there you go.
All right. Well, let's get into the big one. You know, it was Friday when I happened to be checking the Twitter, Sean. I was checking the Twitter.
Yeah.
And I saw Vince McMahon's tweet saying that he was retiring. And my very first thought was he hacked? Because I hadn't seen a press release or anything at that point. I'd only seen Vince's tweet. So I thought, was he hacked? And then a few minutes later, I saw the presser. And then my very next thought was, what did he do now? Because it was just 2 weeks ago that he doubled down. He was on television. He made it clear he's not going anywhere. Those very brash appearances. He jumped off the ring steps. You reported that when he got to the back, he yelled, fuck him, to everybody. Yeah. He wasn't going anywhere. And now suddenly, 2 weeks later, he's gone just like that. So it was pretty clear that there was more that hadn't been uncovered yet. And now some of it has. I still think there's more to come. But some of it has, and he's been forced to step away. He called it a retirement, but it's very clear that he was kind of forced to step away.
I can tell you, I have spoken with some people at the Wall Street Journal over the past week for a variety of stories, not just this story for wrestling, but I have spoken with some people at the Wall Street Journal.
Interesting. Well, I wrote down the verbiage because I want to make sure I don't get it wrong. I'm not the journalist that Sean is, so I guess if I get it wrong, maybe it's okay. But I wrote it down to make sure I don't get it wrong. So the Wall Street Journal reports that the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and federal prosecutors have launched probes into payments made by Vince McMahon to settle allegations of sexual misconduct. And according to the journal, these federal investigations hastened Vince's retirement. That was the word that they used. Hastened his retirement. The first thing I want to say right out of the chute is, because I've had some questions from people about what does this mean? You know, is he going to get in trouble? What does this mean? So the SEC, I know, is a civil entity. And so in terms of the SEC, it would be fines levied. But because there's federal prosecution also involved, it could mean more than that.
Have you learned that via your experience with insider trading?
I'm Canadian and have not had to ever deal with anything of the sort. So, but I just know the SEC is a civil matter. So, so they might get slapped with fines. The federal prosecutors, though, it could turn into something else. Like, I'm curious what else comes out of it. On Monday, WWE disclosed $14.6 million in previously unrecorded expenses paid personally by Vince McMahon. He allegedly paid women from 2006 through 2022. To ensure their silence over alleged affairs and misconduct, including amounts paid and payable in the future. So that means that whatever deals he cut
has like deferred money for some of these people. Yeah. I think we had kind of heard about that there were some deferments there. Like she would get, she being a vague term for one of the people who signed the NDEA, being that she would get a certain amount per year for a certain amount of time.
Right. Yeah. And WWE said that they're going to revise their financial statements going back to 2019 in order to account for that. Now, I know people are going to ask, because I've seen questions about this on social media. If Vince paid personally, why is he in trouble? This is something that people have asked. The answer is it's because those payments benefited WWE. He paid out of pocket, but the NDAs pertained to and protected WWE. And so that's when it becomes a business interest, especially given the nature of why those payments were made. And that's why it's a big deal, regardless of whether the money came from him personally or not.
Yes. Yeah. I think that makes an awful lot of sense. I think a lot of people had a lot of trouble understanding that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's more here. You know, like I said, I don't know if this is going to be the end of it. So the SEC filing that became public, WWE had made, and this is the quote that they use, preliminary determination about those payments totaling $14.6 million. So the term they use was preliminary determination. That means that there could be more to come. And something else, of that $14.6 million so far, they have only accounted for $12.5 million of it. So there's $2.1 million that they haven't yet publicly accounted for. They said that $7.5 million is believed to have been paid to a former female member of the talent roster. A $3 million payment was made to another person, and two $1 million payments were made to two others, so totaling four people in total. But there's still $2.1 million that they haven't publicly accounted yes. for yet. So there's, I think, a lot still to come out, and it won't surprise me if that 14.6 number increases as well, but we'll see.
But yeah, that's what they know of. That's yes. just what we know of right now. And that's with the NDAs associated, which, I mean, I don't think that he would pay money without an NDA associated, but it does make you wonder, like, what else happened? What the hell else happened that they haven't figured out that even people associated don't want out? Because, I mean, we don't even know that people who signed those NDAs wanted this out there. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know that. This was all sort of leaked information as of now, but holy cow, what a situation. Vince, and then Vince retires.
Yeah. Yeah. He was forced to, there's a couple of other things I want to ask you about. Well, first I'll tell this little side note. Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics noted this. Vince forfeited a small number of shares because of his retirement. Mm-hmm. He had some unvested shares. And when you hear the word unvested, what that means is that they're not fixed shares. There's contingencies that come with those shares. And so in this case, the contingency was that he lost them if he retired, but it was a minimal amount, 38,519 shares valued at about $2.7 million. He has yeah. almost 29 million shares remaining.
So what does that, what happens with those shares?
They go back, they go back to the company.
Okay. But yeah, I mean,
he basically gives them up.
The company, like who is the company at this point?
I believe WWE, like he doesn't get paid money for those. He basically forfeits them.
Okay.
So they basically go back to the company. Now, I want to ask you your opinion on something.
Okay.
Because I've seen a lot of questions about, well, Vince still has voting rights, which he does. He still has, I believe, 80% of the voting rights. And there's been a lot of speculation about, oh, Vince is still going to pull the strings and Vince is still going to consult and he's going to do this and he's going to do that. Do you think that he might sell his stock at some point, thereby losing those voting rights? I mean, the guy is 77.
I think when it becomes very clear to him that he is never coming back ever, I think that he's going to sell. Cause what's the point? What's the point then? Like, why does he retain those?
I mean, that was going to be another question that I had. Do you think that he might in his mind have a return plan? Do you think that in his mind he might think this is going to blow over? I mean, it blew over with Terry Garvin.
Yeah. Oh, I think he absolutely believed that it was going to. I think until this past week, until about 5 days ago, he thought it was going to blow over, and then something was put forth to him to where it's like, no, this isn't. And I bet still, like within his heart, he thinks that time heals all wounds. Time ain't healing this wound. I mean, maybe to some people, the wound will be healed, but he's 77. Yep. Time ain't on his side. Time hasn't been on his side the last 18 years of miserable creative. So that's the position he mainly held at this point. He had effectively forfeited so much of the business aspect of wrestling outside of creative. I mean, when he stepped down from those spots, and retain creative, everybody even said superficial. That was the term. I could tell it was being discussed backstage. I could tell that that was a term that people were like using as a buzzword backstage. Superficial. Him stepping down from CEO and chairman was superficial at that point. However, last Friday, that was the first like sort of light at the end of the tunnel. And buddy, let me tell you, the people in WWE were so quick to get back to me about so many different things. There were a lot of people very excited about this. There were people on Wall Street when the numbers were revealed, and it's like, well, maybe WWE's selling. The stock went up. And keep in mind, Vince, who had often said, well, this company will collapse without me. No, it won't. It never was. After 2006, it never was going to. After about that point, it was never going to. And I guess we'll see. I can tell you guys, for everybody that asked, the Raw that we saw on Monday, I know Dave reported that it was largely written by AAA or by Vince on Thursday. I can tell you, I saw some of the creative plans on Sunday, and it was pretty much what happened on Monday. So I really honestly expect a lot of the same out of SmackDown, but I think that once SummerSlam comes and goes, we're going to see that. And for everybody asking, I want to actually, we'll get to the Rollins talking point later, because there's a lot of super chats about it. But I think that probably next week is when we start to see those changes.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned the sale, so I want to touch upon that, because there's been a lot of speculation now with Vince out of the way, it's going to speed up a sale. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that happening for a while, because any suitor is going to want this investigation wrapped up first, right? Like, nobody's going to come in and cut a check for $5 billion plus when there could be more on the horizon here. And so until the investigation fully wraps up, which I think is going to take a while, there's not going to be any suitors. But I was going to ask you, and you already kind of touched upon it, do you have any insight into the feelings internally about a sale with Vince gone?
I mean, there honestly, right now, that's not being discussed very much based on people that I talk to. Like, it's one of those things where they're just all excited. I don't want to say all, but almost everybody is very excited to just see the creative direction that this company.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It goes in right now because it's truly never been like this, ever, at any point, ever. Even when Vince tore both of his quads, he was still handling a lot of that stuff. So, I haven't really heard any discussion of the sale in within the company among talent and staff as of yet. I would expect that once the next couple of weeks passes, we're going to see more of that.
Have you heard about any corporate fallout that might have contributed to Vince's decision, like any fallout from NBC Universal or Fox or major sponsorship partners?
So I haven't heard anything about sponsors. I thought it was interesting that when I reached out to USA and Fox contacts, I wasn't getting a response. I wasn't getting like a real answer out of them. And usually I'll get something or a no comment. It was very quiet on that front, or a not true, et cetera, et cetera. So I wasn't getting much of anything from them. So I would imagine that Fox and USA, even though they got a little bump in numbers, weren't exactly thrilled with the optics of Vince McMahon just throwing himself on television. And yeah, I released that report about SmackDown women that were frustrated by that. They're like, we can't get on TV, but he's doing it. And I had people, Jimmy, that said, It's 5 minutes total. What can they do? And then I saw hundreds of quote retweets on Tommaso Ciampa cutting a 60-second promo that built a lot of different things. And I'm like, well, that's what you can do in 5 minutes. That's what you can do in 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Every minute of television in front of millions of people should be valuable. And that guy hasn't treated it like that in a very long time.
Interesting. I want to ask you some stuff about Stephanie and Nick Khan as co-CEOs.
Sure.
Because I don't expect that's going to work long term. I think that eventually someone's going to have to step to the forefront.
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes. Can you imagine?
EVP.
Yeah. But do you remember a few months ago on this podcast, we talked about an exit plan for Vince? Do you remember? And I talked about how it's felt to me like an exit plan was in place because Stephanie was on the quarterly calls and she hadn't been prior. Yeah. And I felt at the time talking about it that it was going to be Stephanie and Nick Khan corporately and it was going to be Hunter creatively. And that's exactly what it is. But I didn't expect co-CEOs.
Yeah.
Because I can see button heads and I can see stepping on toes. I don't see that working out. And so what have you heard in terms of who is the Vince? Like, you know what I mean? Like Vince, everybody knew was the guy. Who is the Vince? Who do people internally look at as the boss?
Triple H and Stephanie and Nick all collectively. So when the Stephanie news was first announced, I mean, honestly, there was a reply that stuck out to me. And I think a lot of people would be surprised if I said who it was, but they were like, well, in theory, Stephanie's my boss and that fucking rules. Everybody likes Stephanie. I know a lot of people pin the releases on Nick Khan. He seems to be well-liked too. He gets it. He's repped talent for his career. Triple H, well, he's a sign of hope. He's a sign of hope for most of these people. And there are a lot of people excited. Now, there were some people that weren't so excited about him having talent relations and creative for the reason that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. You got to now go up to the guy that writes your creative and say, can I have a week off? And there, it's not all sunshines and rainbows. I can think of 3-4 really good talent. You had Deonna Purrazzo, Chelsea Green, Wendy Chu, Stokely Hathaway. All of those people were parked for like over a year and not used on TV. You can't find something for those four to do on TV in any iteration, NXT 2.0, Black and Gold, Upside Down, reality show. I don't give a damn what it is. Those four people you can't find something on TV for. So he's not without his creative shortfalls either, but there's a lot of optimism there, but it isn't seen as like one big power. I can tell you that the idea that Kevin Dunn is a boss like dissolved an awful lot over the past few weeks.
Interesting. Interesting. Do you see a time, because obviously things are evolving as things going along. Do you see a time where Hunter passes on the talent relations role? And if so, who do you think would be a fit for that?
Talent relations. Well, I you know what? I'm going to take a look at who they got right now. Well, John Cone does really good. I just want to say that. I've never had the fortune of speaking to John Cone, but I hear a lot of people talking about how well that he does in that talent relations spot. So that would be somebody. But I think a lot of times it is important to have somebody who is a worker.
Yes.
Be a part of that. TJ Wilson has been very good, but I mean, he don't need the money.
Yeah.
I think that a Chris Park, a former Abyss, would probably be pretty good at something like that. He's been on kind of like the cutting edge of that type of thing.
Are these people Triple H people?
That I don't know. Chris Park was brought in a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's some people at the Performance Center that I think would be good as well. But I think there are some producers. You ideally want some production experience, some wrestling experience, some management experience as well. Shane Helms has had an awful lot of experience in booking and stuff like that, and helping people. Like he's helped prepare Logan Paul. I think he kind of see some of that stuff, but I feel like they should probably have a bit of a talent relations committee in there. That way it's a little bit more broad than just, well, let's all blame Jim Ross or Johnny Ace or whoever it may be.
You just have to watch. The reason I don't like the co-CEO thing is it's very easy to point fingers and he said, she said.
That's true.
And, you know, and so it's good to have one point of contact. I mean, even in my business, you know that I have a business partner.
Yeah.
And we would always divide, you know, you oversee this, I oversee that, and we wouldn't step on each other's toes. And that's how you have to do it.
But I mean, there's even a lot of that with Vince and control. How many people have you seen fired by WWE that came out and said, well, Vince loved me, but well, no, he didn't. Because if he did, you'd still be there.
Right.
I had a lot of people talking about that. They're like, oh, well, this person fired Samoa Joe twice. And I'm like, well, if Vince wanted him, he wouldn't have been fired once. That's the reality of the situation. Right. We've got Anakin saying, why do you think Triple H didn't look to make some changes to Raw? I, at the very least, wouldn't have had the first match ended in a DQ. I would have probably changed that right out of the gate. I probably would have. Why didn't he? I don't know. Maybe out of respect to Vince, because while Vince is reviled by so many of us that have heard about all this stuff,
yeah,
Triple H, it's his father-in-law.
Let me ask you about that. And I know this might be a hard question to answer, but Raw, like everybody has said, I didn't notice a lot of changes. There were little things. Like I noticed the pacing was better. The show went by faster. But what about Xavier Woods mentioned Ring of Honor and I think New Japan or IWGP. Michael Cole did say fans a lot on commentary. Do you know if that just happened because they just felt like saying it? You know, did you hear anything about that? Did they have to like get approval to say that stuff?
That I don't know. It's still a little bit tight-lipped in that.
Yeah, it's too early. Yeah. Okay.
I do want to get to some super chats here. Josh Cardenas says, listening to the Prinz Jr. podcast, he said one guy squashed their plans for a woman's push and because she didn't look the part, it was done. He has got to go. Done is well past his expiration date as well. Like,
was that
well,
the Becky Lynch thing?
That I have not confirmed. Okay. I heard that they had a pretty cordial face-to-face relationship at the very least.
Okay.
Joel said, come on, Jimmy, let John stay or Sean stay at your house. You're not going to do anything with that house anyway.
You know what this is? This is what's the Adam Sandler skit?
Mr. Deeds.
Like, no. There was a skit. It was like Quarterly Boy or something where he's like, can I water your plants? And he's like, can I move into your house?
Yeah.
And then Farley's like, let the boy move into your house.
There you
That's
go.
What this is.
Reggie says, no question. I just think Jimmy Van is dope. You left out the word A before dope. Andrew the Giant says, Jimmy's first thought is, what am I paying Sean for? Why didn't he get the scoop? I was watering my lawn, but I could not have posted it in time. It was very soon after that. Eloquent says, does Vince still go in the Hall of Fame? Nope, I don't think he does. I think he doesn't want to go in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with that. I agree. If he wants to, he will.
KE775 says, over under 1 year that WWE is sold, who do you think are the prospective buyers? NBCU or Disney and Fox?
I say over. I'll give the over. Okay. And I think NBCU makes the most sense. I know that there is always all this talk about Vince wanted Disney or something, or Vince looked at Disney as, you know, the option that he liked for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But NBCU, they've got how long have they gone back? Going back to primetime wrestling?
Very long, a long
like
time.
Decades USA, and decades. Yeah. And I feel that USA especially really needs Raw, really needs the Raw brand. Mm-hmm. And NBC's got the money. So I think NBCU is still probably the top of the list, in my opinion.
I'll tell you what's at the top of the list for me. NordVPN.com/Fightful, Jimmy. Change your virtual location with just one click. I'll be traveling to Nashville and LA as you're looking around for some silly stuff to throw up on the air while we do a very generous ad read for the best, fastest VPN in the world. You want to talk about a great deal, an additional month free, 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. That's what NordVPN.com/Fightful brings you. Maybe you want to subscribe to AEW Plus or WWE Network, but you can't here in the States. Well, you can with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Brock loves it. Brock, the real reason Brock walked out on Friday, they're like, why doesn't my laptop have NordVPN.com/Fightful? He was mad. He was mad because where he was, SmackDown was geo-blocked. Well, you know what? They made it good. They gave Brock his NordVPN.com/Fightful. He showed back up and he did business. That's because he's got that malware blocked, that annoying pop-up ad blocked. Oh, I'm getting blocked and Brock messed up. Block! Lesnar. Well, you can block Lesnar some pop-up ads with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And now they have three great tiers. One with just a VPN. You go up one, you get a pass. You go up one, you get a locker as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful, Jimmy. We got lots of great sponsors today.
Isn't this thing cool, man?
No.
I don't know if Matt they still Payne, make them.
Matt Payne says, my 2-year anniversary on Select is Sunday, my birthday. Y'all are the best around and help me through some tough times. Thanks, Jimmy, SRS, and the crew. Well, thank you for supporting us, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Did you know today's Triple H's birthday?
I did. It was your birthday this weekend, Jimmy.
It was my birthday.
Also your 53rd birthday.
You're a sweetheart, Sean.
Ryan Lambert said he loved Steve on Know Your News. More of him, please. Steve is fantastic.
That was really good. Do you have the Know Your News, whatever the hell, overlay?
Yeah, put that sure. up. I mean, God, we're going to do 4 ad reads today. What the hell's wrong with you, Jimmy?
Well, you can cut one out and put it somewhere else. So Know Your News tonight. That's the podcast I do on Tuesdays about stupid news. I had Steve from Steven Larson this week. That guy, I was telling Sean, is freaking hilarious. He should do stand-up because his wit is like this. He was really good. One of the most fun shows I've ever done. So check that out. Alex and Kate this week, they reviewed the movie. Stay tuned. Have you ever seen that, Sean?
I've heard of it.
John Ritter was in it, and there was wrestling cameo by the One Man Gang. So,
yeah, that's where I've heard of it.
Yep, so stay tuned. Alex and Kate did that, and we have a podcast about the week in stupid sports plays with Greg Sherry and Jarrett Bailey called Unsportsmanlike. That goes up on Monday, so that's there too. KnowYourNews.com or YouTube.com/KnowYourNews. Check it out. And I'm going to do some more of the whole wrestling podcast Forbidden Door thing, Sean.
Okay.
So I got more people lined up for Know Your News tonight, so stay tuned.
We've got Colin saying, let me read this. How do you think Steph feels with Triple H having extra work given his recent health issues? I mean, him having extra work, what about her? She was quitting a month and a half ago. I think she believes that he can handle it. I mean, Triple H keeps himself in better condition than Bruce Pritchard, and Bruce Pritchard has had some health issues, and he's handling it just fine. So I'm pretty sure that she knows he's doing what he can.
Do you know if Hunter plans to be live at TV every week?
I think as of now, yeah.
Live at SmackDown.
That's what I've heard. He wants the lines of communication open. You all can subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I've got information on a talent meeting that he held on Monday. Also, leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. It helps a lot. Russell says, what AEW talent might want to go back or come to WWE now? Just got a Fightful Select subscription. So I saw a lot of people saying, oh, this quote's definitely from Adam Cole. It's from Adam Cole. It wasn't from Adam Cole. I'll tell you guys that full stop. I reached out to 24 or heard back from probably 24 former WWE talent. That's people who recently got fired, recently left, recently went elsewhere, all kinds of stuff, all the way back to 2016, which is what I identified, Jimmy, as when a lot of things changed. When right. you've got it, between 2016 and 2017, Ryback, Cody Rhodes, Jack Swagger, Wade Barrett, all who were perceived as potential top guys eventually walking out the door of their own volition, when there was no clear cut, this is where they're going to go place. Like there was no place where you could point to and say they fit in,
right?
And they still walked away. That's when I saw it change. So that was the starting point for me. We got a King of the North, who's been a member of Fightful for 3 months, saying, congrats on the milestone. Jimmy, thoughts on Jack Campbell and Evander Kane coming back? Pool party staying, Kadri to Calgary.
That's not true yet, Kadri to Calgary.
I don't know. He's put a question mark next to
it. Yeah, no, so I don't think they got the cap space if they want to re-sign Huberto and Uyghur. So
what Evander, cap space do we got?
Evander Kane, I think, is an excellent signing at a great cap hit. I really like the Evander Kane signing. Jack Campbell. Sean, I'll put this into terms you understand. So this is a goalie that just signed a 5-year deal for $5 million a season, which is a starting goalie salary. And he's played, I believe, 120 games in the NHL. That's like a season and a half. That's a gamble. So he had a good first half of the year, the Toronto Maple Leafs last year. The last half wasn't so great. It's a gamble. Jesse Puljujärvi is going to be traded, I believe. I think that they signed him so that a suitor knows what they're paying. And I think he's going to be traded because they're currently over the cap and they got more guys to sign. There's my Edmonton Oilers update, Sean Rossap.
Colin says, congrats on 8K on Patreon. Cheers, friends. Thank you so much. LM Arthur Steele asks if I think they'll condense the tag titles to one set. No, I think they'll go to two, unless they end the brand split altogether. DAP2Extreme says, any thoughts on Saraya Paige possibly going to AEW or returning to WWE considering the regime change? Britt Baker mentioned her as a dream opponent, and Mandy mentioned her on NXT. I don't think WWE doctors are going to clear her. I don't think they'll ever clear her. So if she gets cleared by doctors, I'm sure she'll wrestle again. I would understand her she has been pretty open at the idea that she wants to wrestle again. I think that AEW would really, really take an awful lot of precautions before that happened, because they don't want to be the place that something terrible happened at.
Paige is one of those people that you don't realize how young she is because she's been around for so long.
Yeah, she's only 28.
Yeah, she's still young. So I can understand that she still wants to get in the ring.
Actually, she'll be 30 next month. It's still wild young to think. Yeah. Very young. Van Twinblade shouts out Bork Laser and a lot of people talking about the Riddle Rollins thing. We have an update on FightfulSelect.com. KE775 says pissing off Rollins doesn't seem smart. Javier says Seth versus Gargano. Andrew says Jimmy fantasy booking Veer versus Seth Rollins. And Nerd Guru says Johnny being at Starrcade shouldn't deter the chances that Hunter calls him to be Seth's opponent, right? I don't want Seth to take another L, but that would be awesome. There is nothing so far to indicate that Seth will actually have a match at SummerSlam. I can tell you guys that this was told to talent on Monday that the match wasn't happening. The tentative date that they were told was Clash at the Castle. You know how quickly things in WWE change. But we've got more on FightfulSelect.com, so please go subscribe. But, Jimmy, I haven't heard anything about them teasing another opponent for Rollins at all.
So let me ask you this question. Now that the talent has, you know, the guaranteed contracts, do they still get a bonus or something for a big event like SummerSlam? Like, do they still get, like, a special payday?
Some of them, it depends on the deal, because a lot of stuff has been changed. I mean, some people have completely like all covered salary deals where there's nothing really additional.
Okay. Cause I'd be really curious. Rollins is a top guy. And so I imagine he does well financially, but he's also passionate about wrestling.
Of course.
You think that he was looking forward to, what are they going to be drawing? Like 35,000 people? Like you think he was looking forward to doing that. And I read this morning that he's still scheduled for Nashville for media obligations.
I was told that maybe that would change, though. I was told that a bit. I can tell you that he was on our junket list for Friday.
Right.
And I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, Jimmy. StarCast 5, presented by CarShield. Check it out, StarCast.com. They've graciously sponsored all of our shows through the end of the month. And we definitely want you guys to check that out. The card on Sunday for Ric Flair's last match is insane. It's got the Briscoes, Motor City Machine Guns, the Wolves, Josh Alexander, Jacob Fatu, Deonna Purrazzo, Jordan Grace, Harry Smith, Killer Cross, Ray Phoenix, Laredo Kid, Bandido, tons of stars. And that's in addition to Ric Flair's last match at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium. Tickets are still on sale for just $39. Talent from every company outside of WWE. Actually, even in WWE, because Jeff Jarrett is teaming.
Right. Jeff Jarrett's and Flair's back lethal. On the intro. He's back on the signature.
He's back on the intro, and they're taking on Andrade and Ric Flair. But in addition to that, you got panels with Bryan Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, a Horseman reunion, Bret Hart talking SummerSlam 92. They got Matt Hardy, Kevin Nash, Foley, Paige. In addition to all your signings, you can get info at StarCast.com. There are shows from Black Label Pro, GCW, New Japan. I was supposed to host the Johnny Gargano panel, but it got scheduled for Sunday, and I got to go to Denise's wedding. But I hope to see all of you there at StarCast Friday and Saturday. And thank you to them for sponsoring the show.
And where do you see that fight? Is it a fight broadcast?
Yeah, you can, but StarCast.com has all StarCast.com. The info.
Okay.
Matt Payne says Rollins has 50 losses so far in 22, most in WWE. A lot of those are heel loses the big match at the house show thing. Those don't even really.
Did you see the somebody took a fan video after Raw on Monday where the whole crowd was singing a song when he left? The guy's over. He doesn't care about that stuff.
Massively over. Brandon says thoughts on Mania 40 going to Philly. Heyman to the Hall of Fame that year, an article on what made them pick Philly and what other locations were on the table. I'll find out about that, but I actually, yeah, I think that Heyman would probably be the Hall of Fame headliner that year. That would make a lot of sense to me. Thoughts on Mania going to Philly? I think it's going to be real cold.
Oh, come on.
I think it's in April. Cold and rainy. April?
Is the venue open air or is there a roof?
Yes, it's open air.
It's open air. It'll be fine. I mean, they did New York, New Jersey there a couple of years ago.
April weather in Philadelphia. Daily high temperatures go from about 58 to 69 Fahrenheit.
What's that Celsius?
They rarely exceed 81 degrees, but they rarely fall below 46.
You're good. It's good. It's going to be very reasonable.
I ain't going to be there. And if I am, I'm in a press box. So,
oh, well, there you go. I love that it's in Philly. It's a great wrestling market. And I love that they're keeping two nights. Keeping two nights is the smart move.
Oh, it's such a good move. Like, such a good move. I do not ever want to go back to one night shows.
No.
Now I feel bad for everybody who covers MMA because I often tell people the thing that makes you a casual MMA fan quickest is covering MMA because every Saturday is a WrestleMania length show that you're covering. It's like 6-7 hours.
Oh yeah. I remember Mania the last time it was one night. It was like 8 hours.
Rob jokes. They wanted Mania in Minnesota, but they hate the Skyway. That thing ain't ever open, Rob. So what's the point? They got the Skyway that helps you avoid all the cold weather, but the damn thing's closed all the time. So what's the point? Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up, guys. Reminder, we got the post-AEW show tonight. Denise and Will did the ROH Death Before Dishonor show on Saturday. This Saturday, I'm going to rush to my hotel room after the event. Myself and Denise will be doing the show, even though Will will be at Denise's house watching the show, so I probably just should have had them do a live show instead and got some sleep before I got to get up at 5 a.m. for a flight to go see her. But, you know. Also, I'm going to try to do a post-show from Denise's wedding, Jimmy.
Fascinating. Maybe that'll be a select special.
Gonna try.
Fascinating. You're all decked out. You're going to have a nice suit on there, Sean Rossat.
Oh yeah, I'll be wearing a jacket. JoJo says, what venue is Bound for Glory being held? I reported on FightfulSelect.com that it is planned for Danbury, Connecticut. The venue, I do not know. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com.
I want to ask you some more stuff about Hunter. So
yeah, that's what this show's about today.
Yeah. So the org chart, like, is Bruce Pritchard still? Because the way that it read was Triple H is heading up creative.
Yes, I confirmed that with WWE because when. You know, it can mean a lot of things when they say assuming all creative, da da da.
Right.
I said, so he's heading up creative. And they said, yes, he is. Also, another thing I asked them to reiterate, I was like, this is not a storyline. Vince is not out as a part of an elaborate storyline. I know a lot of people went, oh, yeah, this guy blew himself up in a limo, guys.
Right.
Like, when these allegations came out, he put himself on TV three times, all of a sudden wanted to be seen on camera at UFC after not liking the sport ever,
right,
and was shouting, fuck him backstage. So yeah. But right now, Bruce Pritchard reports to Triple H.
Okay. And I heard Ed Koski also helped with Raw on Monday. Is that correct?
I know he helped with SmackDown. I don't know about Monday.
Oh, all right.
I haven't heard. Maybe he did.
And so you think that SummerSlam will be Hunter's coming out party creatively? You think that's going to be his first stamp?
I would be more inclined to believe that it'd be Monday.
Okay, the Raw after SummerSlam.
Maybe some of the finishes would be his.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a good way to like establish some finishes for sure. But then after that, I would assume it's Triple H's creative. I'll find out a lot more this week. FightfulSelect.com will have a lot more this week.
Lots more on Hunter I want to talk to you about. So
there
are suggestions, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, especially about AEW. There are suggestions that talent that might have been anti-WWE before because of Vince McMahon might have a change of heart. And the first person everybody's talking about is Sasha Banks. What is your sense on people that either left begrudgingly or people that maybe signed with AEW because of what they'd heard? What is your sense on a shift? And a lot of this talent now is going to be open to working in WWE.
So the big quote that I had in the piece on Fightful Select yesterday that a lot of people ran with and said, people want to leave AEW. A person said, I'm very happy I signed with AEW and I wouldn't trade that for anything. But if Triple H managed the main roster, I would not have gotten to a free agency period. That's really what they said. They would not have gotten to a period where they were offered a new deal. I don't even say a free agency period, because I talked to two people and one of them just passed up on a deal, like outright. But they wouldn't have even got there because they like Triple H so much. So yeah, the perception's changing a little bit. However, I don't think anybody is necessarily just like, oh yeah, everything's going to be wonderful and all that. Like, and all the people that were trying to imply that I reported that people were ready to jump, that isn't true at all. Based on those that I talked with.
Yeah, yeah. This leads me to my next question, which again is similar to what you just mentioned. So I read some online sentiment, and I think it's silly, but I read some online sentiment about how AEW is supposedly in trouble now because WWE is about to ramp things up creatively with Triple H in charge. I just don't see how this impacts AEW, because it's not like AEW's quality is going to drop. You know,
buddy,
what I'm saying?
With a dog shit creative, we got pumped up. Let's fucking go, Tony Khan at press conferences. I would love to see what kind of a Tony Khan that we see emerge and what kind of creative stuff that he pulls out of the hat, as well as other companies, Scott D'Amore and all these other companies. When you've got somebody that's actually giving a shit about the show. That's what I want. I want this. I want creative. I want the fun little jabs, the harmless little stuff. I want the spirited, harmless competition. As long as like they're not making, as long as Tony's not making like heart attack jokes about Triple H, and Triple H isn't making like really weird, like, oh, he's on coke jokes about Tony Khan and goofy shit like that. Bring on the spirited competition. Bring on that type of stuff, because that's healthy and that's what we want to see. That motivates people. Like, you mean to tell me that those billionaire Ted skits didn't light a fire underneath everybody who was targeted in them? They did. They all stepped up their game, and WCW was on fire after that. And man, and a lot of the stuff that WCW did lit a fire under Vince McMahon. That's what you want to see. And then while they were battling it out, you had a third company come along and say, if y'all don't like either one of these companies, here we are, we're ECW and we're really good. That's what you want to see. That's what you want to see. Yeah, and that's what I want to see.
I still think Hunter's going to not acknowledge AEW, because I think he has that mentality when you're number one. But I definitely think AEW is going to continue. They've always been kind of subtle. I don't recall them coming right out and just being real dicks about it. They're kind of subtle about it. But I think that's going to continue. Okay, I want to say another note about Triple H. This video has been making the rounds about his appearance on Steve Austin's podcast in 2015.
Yeah.
And I've seen it all over. Everybody's been posting it. And the clip that they're posting is when Triple H says, if I could change anything, I'd love for Raw to be 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That's not going to happen. I sent Sean a link. I don't know if you saw it.
Well, it's absolutely not going to happen before the next rights deal. If they can somehow get comparable money for 2 hours as they are now for three, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that it happens then. But they're not just magically lopping off an hour. They're not handing that money back.
No. So I look at it like this. So number one, I don't think it's Hunter's call anyway. So even if Hunter wants it to be 2 hours, I don't think that necessarily means anything. But you have to look at it like this. I think the price tag for right now, I think USA pays $260 million a year for Raw, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that works out to about $87 million per hour over the course of a year. They're not going to walk from that. Nope. And like you said, that's before the next round of negotiations. So it's not happening. And I sent Sean the link to a wrestling website, and their headline was, Raw's going to 2 hours. And all they had was the video of Triple H from 2015. Yeah. It's nonsense. And it's not going to happen.
But beyond that, like, we look at wrestling numbers and you're like, oh man, it's so much lower than it used to be. Oh, not for USA Network. It's not. Todd Chrisley ain't drawing that much right now, buddy.
Is he still on the air?
Buddy, that man has weathered more shit than Vince McMahon.
I thought they're going to jail.
They still got a season coming
up. Do they?
Oh, geez. This guy God, they got to pack him up. Abhinav says, are EDM and CGY big enough for AEW to run in Canada? I don't know whether that Edmonton and Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They do Raw there. Sure. Yeah.
We got a donation from Emily Duda. I'm going to look through and see if you had a comment, but regardless, I want to thank you, Emily. CFO isn't a thing anymore, are they? Nope, they split up. They had issues with their publisher, and they ended up splitting up. Tom Talks Rubbish says, love all you do. Well, thank you very much. I know that you've interviewed a couple people on Fightful. I want to thank you for that. Corey says, Sasha can't take bookings until 2023 still, right? I don't know if she can't take bookings. I can tell you that when a wrestling promoter reached out, they were told that she's not taking wrestling bookings till January 1st. In my line of work, you have to pay attention specifically to what these people are told, because can't and won't are two different things. And I don't have an answer. Who could be you see as potential bidders? Comcast, Disney, Fox, UFC parent company Endeavor making a play as well. Jimmy, I think you were right on the money. NBCU. Okay, how much did the UFC get bought for?
Somewhere around $4
billion. $4
billion? Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
For the whole shebang, right?
Yep.
WWE right now has how many concurrent $1 billion deals? Like three? Between Saudi, Fox,
Yeah, Fox, and, is Fox Peacock, and USA are a billion. Is Peacock talking? Is two. Yes.
They got like what, four concurrent $1 billion deals that's guaranteed. That's completely separate of merchandising, live ticketing, any of that stuff.
I don't recall. Was the Saudi deal a $1 billion deal? I thought it was. Wasn't it 10 shows for $500 million? Like, they never said the amount, but then when you broke down how much they got for each, I think it was like $50 million a show, 10 shows, wasn't it? I could be wrong.
Let me take a look. Brandon Thurston has said that they've made over $350 million more. So we'll just, whatever, who cares? They've got a company that is years ago, like 6 years ago, sold for $4 billion or whatever. Meanwhile, they've got all these different concurrent deals. A company like NBCU could look at this and say, well, we don't have to pay rights fees for this if we own it.
That's right. Yep.
And we can distribute it anywhere. You know, we can replay it whenever the hell we want. It doesn't matter. Oh, and they could have the next day rights too and put those on Peacock.
Yeah.
Which that I think it would be a smart deal for an NBCU to do that, Jimmy. Like, I think that them buying WWE makes an awful lot of sense financially.
I mean, I definitely don't think it's going to be Endeavor, because Endeavor had to raise the money to buy the UFC. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I don't know where they stand today because I haven't looked it up, but I remember at the time they were struggling to make their payments, their debt payments at the time. The ESPN deal might have changed it. I haven't looked it up, but they did struggle. I see no way that they're going to go out and raise $5 billion plus. I think WWE could get over $5
billion. Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to go ahead and raise that. I think NBCU makes a lot of sense. And like you just said, they would be essentially saving $2 billion over X number of years on the on the rights fee deals that they have now.
Plus, they would own it for forever. I think they'd make their money back pretty well. Let's get through these super chats. Emily says, will Triple H headline Hall of Fame next year? Rock to induct him. Well, I mean, those are two really easy headliners in the future, right? Like, we often talk about, oh, they'll run out of people. They'll always find people. They just got to have the headliners. And right now, Triple H, Rock, Paul Heyman, I think they have a few over the next few years that they can run to.
Hunter's not going to do it so long as he's had a creative, I don't think.
Yeah, but I think that Shawn Michaels would probably induct him, to be honest with you. I think that would make a lot of sense. Do I think Rollins is in the SummerSlam main event, or is he going to face a surprise? I don't think either one of them, based on his tweet. I don't think so. I haven't heard specifically one way or another, but I don't think he'll be on the show. Did Vince retire or resign? What's the difference? Jimmy, I'll let you handle that one.
He resigned forcibly, and I think that they let him use retirement as a public explanation out of respect.
Joel Wood says, with Triple H now in charge, how likely do you think it's Sasha, Naomi, Bray, or Gargano return to WWE? There are about 15 TV-ready talent that I think they should immediately bring back and disperse among their three brands, from Cross, Scarlett, Braun, Bray, Taya, John Morrison, Sasha, Naomi, Johnny, Candace. Like, that's off the top of my head. Dakota Kai, Tegan Knox. Like, there's an awful lot there that should probably still be there. Bronson Reed is another one that Triple H liked an awful lot. How likely do I think it is? I think it's pretty likely that several of them return.
Can I ask you this question? So in the past, I should stop saying, can I ask you this question? In the past, I would explain about like the costs associated with those releases and how like it, you know, in the general scheme of things, it didn't do a ton to the bottom line. And remember, I talked about the new building and what the costs were for the new building. Yeah. And I thought that that contributed to them doing these releases. What do you hear internally now about the financial end of things? Because we haven't seen a massive, you know, release sweep in a while, with the exception of the NXT one there a little while ago. Haven't seen a massive one. The roster's pretty lean now, I think. Have you heard a lot internally about, oh, they're cutting costs because they want to sell, or you know, they're doing it for this reason or that reason? Or do you think that the feeling internally is they can bring back these talents and they will bring back these talents?
I know that people in the company want them to bring back these talent, but it is very much we're going to see how things play out over the next month and a half, and see if any of them get brought back or re-signed. Because if you hire Bray Wyatt, you're making your money back on Bray Wyatt almost guaranteed. He had the contentious relationship with Vince, not necessarily Triple H. Yep. But to me, why wouldn't you have somebody who makes money on your roster if you're trying to sell the company?
I look at Bray the way I look at Sting. Remember when AEW signed Sting? Mm-hmm. And remember when there were some people that were like, why the hell would they sign this old man? They made their money back on merch like the first day.
Yeah.
On Sting. Bray, they could do the same. T-shirts and the action figures and all that. Absolutely. They could definitely make it back.
I'll tell you what's a great investment in yourself. AG1, athleticgreens.com/Fightful. I start my day off with this every morning. It's replaced my multivitamin. It's replaced a lot of my other supplements. That's because it's got 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients that will help you from slapping up against your microphone repeatedly when you're on a podcast. Look exactly like Rocky, because you get your multivitamin, multimineral, probiotics, and the green superfood blend in one convenient daily serving. Fills the nutritional gaps in your diet. It supports a healthy immune system, health, and digestion in your gut. Supports energy and focus. You just shake it up, drink it, you're good to go. And the thing I like most is over the last decade, they've made over 53 improvements. That's once every few months they are adapting with science, like I wish Jimmy would, in order to not hit his microphone when I'm doing ad reads. And to make it easy on you, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs. It's very easy, just like one of those crystal light gimmicks that you see. You pour it in your bottle of water, you shake it up, you're good to go. I'll be taking those to LA and Nashville with me. Go to athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Try Athletic Greens now. Baron Black, who just won his first AEW match, spoke about he put it over on Twitter to me a while back. So win an AEW match when you take Athletic Greens.
Awesome. I actually have also used Athletic Greens whenever my wife doesn't make green smoothies. Yeah, that's good. So here's some behind the scenes stuff for people. In the 6 years now that we've existed, Sean, it's been 6 years now that Fightful has existed. I have only spent Fightful money one time in 6 years. And Sean knows, I bought this Rocky statue. See this right here? I bought that from the guy that created it. What was the guy's name? I'm sorry. I can't read that. The guy that created it, I bought it from him. This is the same material, Sean, as the one on display in Philadelphia. Like, it's the same bronze material.
Sorry, he's also going to let me have all the money we make this month. Heavy Metal Chris says, so are you coming to UK to cover Clash, Sean? Quizzlemania in person to finally embarrass the WrestleTalk guys on their home turf. Eventually, I will go over to the UK for a visit. I'll probably take my wife over there. But no, that's actually both of our birthday weekends and anniversary weekends. So I ain't going over there to work.
London's a great place, Sean.
I'll visit it one day. Marcus Carney says, since Vince technically resigned without good reason, does he forfeit the benefits in his employee agreement, Jimmy, or employment agreement?
I haven't seen the employment agreement, so I'm not sure. But
I would imagine so.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, because he retired, he did have to forfeit the unvested shares.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't know what he might have in his employment agreement. Sometimes in retirement, they give you certain severance package or whatever is in there.
Bryson says, have you heard about Heyman being at the tryouts? I mean, I saw the tweet, but I mean, they got tryouts on Friday too, because I'm going to be at the tryouts Friday. So, yeah, I'll give you guys some news in regards to that. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch, and we are about to head over to FightfulSelect.com for the list goes on. But Kylie says, my favorite thing about Fightful is not only do I get great news, but I can feel safe that you all don't put up with homophobia or transphobia. And as a bi trans girl, that means a lot. Absolutely. Again, we do not want $5 from pieces of shit at all. If you're transphobic, homophobic, racist, any of that shit, sexist, I don't want your money. You can find another website with a very unwelcoming comment section that will just embrace you, I'm sure, but we ain't doing it. Phantom says, speaking of Adam Cole, how horrible did that meeting have to go with Vince for Adam to decide to sign with Tony Khan 6 years right off the bat? I mean, that's a very good point. That is a very good point, to where he's like, I don't even want to see how this bullshit lands. I'm just going to sign 6 years.
Remind me.
He told me it was a tough decision, like in our interview.
Remind me, was he pitched the manager thing by Vince?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. By the way, I want to address this. It says, sounds like a good way to grow broke. Leftists have no money. Buddy, let me tell you. First off, you're banned. Second off,
you don't know shit.
We do very well.
Let's nerd talk.
We're done. Okay. Says, okay. Is it possible for them to have the WWE version of the NFLPA, an entity separate of creative, but not just one person? NFLPA is the NFL Players Association. That's more like them
union,
effectively unionizing. I think if WWE ever has a quote unquote union, it will be more like the WWE Players Association than a union. And yeah. But what else you got, Jimmy? We've got Wrestle Wriggle saying, thanks for the awesome news and content. This is one of my favorite shows of the week. Thanks again for the hard work it shows. Well, I'm glad.
Let's talk about how poor Sean Ross Sapp got shit on about the Brock Lesnar news. Even though you weren't wrong.
It was absolutely right. I'm saying it again. Wrong. Buddy, I blocked probably 200 people over that.
Yeah,
anybody that was remotely a dick about that, I was like... And I know that there are people who are like,
you're thin-skinned. What are you doing?
Dare I say it's more thin-skinned to complain about what adult blocks another adult on Twitter. But hey, listen, if you want unblocked, here's what you can do. You can go to your little computer. You can tip-tap type on your little computer. You can message Kyler on the Fightful account. Kyler's going to be like, God damn it, Sean, we got another one. And then I'll unblock you. But that story was absolutely accurate. Brian Alvarez was right. I had heard this from numerous sources right ahead of it. And people said, well, why didn't you say when he was back? I didn't fucking know. What, I'm supposed to have his locker room bug? I didn't know he was back. I knew he left. Didn't know he was back. Come on, man. Just because we report news and we get the stories doesn't mean that we have any responsibility to have every bit of news that travels through that company. Just not realistic.
Have you heard if Brock was promised more money to return?
Have not, but I heard that he was in a much better mood when he came back. And one of the people I spoke to said, well, it was kind of overblown. And I was like, by us, the media? And they're like, no, by Brock.
You know, I forgot to bring it on the podcast. I was going to do that. One of the things my wife got me for my birthday was Brock Lesnar's rub, the meat rub, steak rub. And
well, let me tell you,
Scott, I'm like, oh, we're trying that out. Well, he knows what he's doing.
Let me tell you, buddy, only you and Roman Reigns have got rubs from Brock Lesnar over the last few years. K775 says, random suggestion, make main event matter at a show prior to SmackDown. Get more people on TV. Use Peacock and Fox to stream them. Yeah, well, I mean, they have separate deals for main event. But yeah, I agree. As somebody who actually watches main event, I watch the matches at least. T-Bar does great work over there. Tozawa and Ricochet as well. I agree. Joel Wood says, so with Vince being gone and Triple H and creative, do you see the NXT 2.0 vision changing again to allow more independent talent to mix with the current talent? I think we're going to see more independent talent making their way. I don't think it's going to change categorically, but I do think that we're going to see a bit of a mix. I like the production on NXT 2.0 a lot more. I don't think it'll ever fully go back there because Triple H has something else to do now, but we do too.
Wasn't the 2.0 thing, wasn't it Nick Khan's directive to go with more college athletes and less independent wrestlers?
I don't want to say directive, but it was something he was in favor of for sure,
I
heard.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm in favor of you subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. By the way, if you're in the chat here on any of our live shows and you want your question or statement answered, HumperChats.com. That allows you to leave your question or statement even before we go in the air. So if there's something that you want to ask, but you can't watch the show live for some reason, head over to HumperChats.com. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.